This is Line Break, where we deconstruct poetry written by young writers and discuss the inspiration and intention behind their poems. Take a pause and enjoy the line breaks. Here is episode 42, where I talk with Dog Poa about her poem, Grocery Shopping. I hope you enjoy.
I'm Dog Poet, and I will be reading my poem, Grocery Shopping. Nothing will be right until we eat poems like paper peaches, falling backwards into grocery carts and empty souls, double-dipped in the Atlantic. It's frantic how we grab inky onions and expect them to end our existential crises when they simply soak in the blood of our language. Peel the skins off and it will drip from the core, divining your truth on the cutting board. Juice sinks into teeth and we seethe when it stains us, how we breathe. But we grew this fruit, so we will buy it or bury it in the earth where it was born. And I wonder, will we be torn from the ties of our tethering, teetering Terra and move on to a burning celestial Sahara? I am written in the small white flowers that dance across the banks of the highways, hopping, halting, harrowing. I want to dip my fingers in sunset sky. I want skeletal wings and to make them fly.
Oh, thank you so much. So what was your inspiration for this?
I recently went on a very long car trip with my family, and I was sort of just sitting there thinking about how, like, as artists, we're often sort of told about how it can be hard to make a living with art, just like any type of art, really. And I was just thinking, like, wouldn't it be so cool if we could just, like, eat poetry or, like, live off of poetry? So that was where the beginning came from. And then I sort of just went from there.
That's really cool. I hear that so much. You know, you tell people, I want to be a writer or I want to be an artist. I want to be a photographer. And they're like, well, how are you going to make money from that? Or like, what are you going to do with that? And it's very upsetting. I think people just need to calm down and let people be creative, because if we're not the ones that are writing and taking pictures and making art, who is going to do it? No, someone has to be writing books for you to read them. I think it's really cool, though, that you took that as inspiration and turned it into the first line, which is one of my favorites. Nothing will be right until we eat poems like paper peaches, falling backward into grocery carts and empty souls double-dipped in the Atlantic. What was your inspiration for this whole kind of phrase? Because I think that it's one chunk that goes together.
Yeah, so this poem actually started from a bunch of different lines that I sort of like gathered together. So the next part about the grocery carts and empty souls was partially inspired by a Taylor Swift song, actually. I think it's Cardigan. At some point, she says something about standing like in a grocery line. And I just have always thought that that was really cool imagery. It's like, so I took the grocery carts from there. And then double dipped in the Atlantic. The road trip that I was going on was to my grandparents' house, and they live by the beach by the Atlantic Ocean. So I just took that imagery from there.
That's really cool. I do love taking inspiration from song lyrics. I've been talking about this a lot lately. I think it's a great way to see how people use words together in a way that sometimes rhymes, sometimes doesn't. But like the thing about songs, and I learned this in my songwriting class last summer, is that you have to take like the story and condense it into, you know, just a couple of words. And it has to be something that you want to sing along to. So it's got to be simple and it's got to be fun. And I think it's a really interesting balance to see how people put a whole story into like these really simple words.
Yeah, definitely.
And I also just love this idea that you have to balance out your life and like make things right by consuming poetry and eating it and like making it a part of you. So that makes me come to the question of, has there been a time in your life when poetry has helped you make things right or balance out stress or anger or something like that?
Yeah, I think that poetry has really like always been a part of my life. And when I was younger, I a lot of the time would just like write very descriptive poetry or just things that I noticed or fantastical things that I would make up from my imagination and not really focus on like the emotions or what I was like feeling in or what was going on like at that time in my life. And then as I got older, that was still sometimes the case, but I also added in sort of like these different elements of what I was feeling. And a lot of the, I think anger has been the emotion that poetry has helped me with the most. So really, like, any time that I felt like I was in a situation where someone said something to me that I couldn't really express how I was feeling about it, or I couldn't really tell them how it had upset me, poetry has really helped me with that, I think.
Yeah, like using it as a way to express how you feel without kind of actually having to say it, because it's difficult to be like, I'm mad at you because of this, and that's how it made me feel. Like, that can make you feel really kind of embarrassed in a way. I don't know, that's how I feel about it. So I agree, like being able to kind of write about how you feel without maybe saying it directly, that helps me a lot. I do write some poems that come from anger. A lot of them seem moody, but they mainly just come from me being like stressed out and like nervous about something. And it's very interesting to see how they all have the same vibe, even though they come from different emotions. Another question, or another line, actually. It's frantic how we grab inky onions and expect them to end our existential crises. Will they simply soak in the blood of our language? And I like how this contrasts with like the pretty peaches from before and makes a little bit darker. What was your inspiration for this kind of contrast?
Yeah, well, I really like sort of playing around with alliteration, and there's not some really any exact I mean, I guess there's a lot of ease in the line, but I really like how alliteration sounds, and just playing around with like that, and also like things that don't quite rhyme but are like almost rhymes. And yeah, I don't exactly remember where I got the inky onions from, but I think I was just on the line of like food, and yeah, it just came from there.
It was a little bit weird to me at first. I was like, wait, inky onions? And I was like, no, but that sounds so cool, like the ink and the onion. It's definitely a poet thing to like yeah, that phrase and be like, ooh, sounds. But it's so cool when you kind of have this alliteration that's not completely alliteration, because it sounds really natural and it sounds like it's meant to be, and it's not like I don't know, yellow. I can't think of another word that starts with Y. But, you know, it's not forced. It feels very, like, natural. And that's just, like, how it's meant to be.
Well, thank you. I've also played around with, like, since you were talking about songwriting earlier, I've played around with songwriting. And I think, especially in that, like, I don't want it to feel too forced. And sometimes I'll start with just, like, one line, like, with this poem, and then I'll just sort of think about like the endings of the words and the line and how to just play around with that rhyming. And I just really like the sounds of the different words together. So, yeah.
I was not very good at songwriting. I have a tendency to go on tangents and kind of add too much detail, make it too abstract. And they're like, what is this about? You've got to just stick to one thing. There's too many details. You don't need to start going on about hair straighteners and hair curlers. So songwriting didn't work out for me, but maybe it was just that one time. Maybe I'll be better at it. I hope.
I'm sure it will get better with practice. Yeah, I think I have like the opposite problem. Like, as if I look back at like older songs that I wrote, a lot of them are just like very cliche, like pop songs, like with a catchy chorus and like a couple of verses. And it just, I've been trying to move away from like that land of cliche.
So another line, which is really cool to me, juice sinks into teeth, because it's like this inversion of it. Usually it's the other way around, and I love when writers do that and kind of invert words in on themselves. That's the only way that I can think of describing it, or kind of like reversing a phrase or something.
Yeah. This was written as I said before, like on that road trip that I'd taken, and it was very hot, so I was having like a lot of popsicles and other things like that, and I wanted something about that. And I didn't even really think of that as like being flipped. I guess I just thought of it as like the juice sort of like staining your teeth.
I was reading this book, Priest Daddy, by Patricia Lockwood. It's very interesting. I don't know if I would recommend it. Some parts I would, some parts I definitely would not. But it's she uses really cool language because she's a poet. And so there are some times they're just like a regular book. And then there are some parts of it that are like poetry. And like, it's really cool how she kind of does that reversal or kind of like really interesting descriptions. Like at one point she talks about her voice teacher and how the teacher was a sharp note rather than a flat, and her mouth was thinner and straighter than the bottom line of the staff. And I was like, oh, that's such a cool way of describing it, that like she's a sharp and not a flat. And like, for a musician, that made perfect sense to me.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, I really, that's another thing that I like playing around with in my writing, is like the different ways of, I guess, similes and metaphors a lot, but like using different, like sort of unrelated things to describe a situation, or because I feel like it can be very unexpected and very interesting.
Yeah, it kind of catches you off guard, like, wait, really? That's what they're talking about? So, another line, and we see when it stains us how we breathe. I love this, and I feel like it reminds me of a spoken word piece together with the juice line, that like the repetition of the E and the that kind of thing. So did you read this out loud to get the flow, or was it kind of unintentional?
Yeah, I actually wrote it for a poetry slam that I did a couple of weeks ago. And at that part, I was definitely sort of playing around with the rhythm of it. And it definitely came right out of the juicing set of teeth. And then I went to seize and breathe.
I have not done an in-person poetry open mic or slam or something in so long. And I kind of miss it at this point. I really want to go back to one. I went to one early 2020, late 2019. And I won by default because I was the only one in my category. But I got a $20 gift card to a coffee shop, which was very exciting. And I think it's always just great practice, even if you don't win, especially if you don't win, to just know that like this is a time that I can learn from how I read it. Like if you take a recording, be like, oh, I want to read it differently this time, or I want to put more emphasis on these kind of words. So they're just so much fun in general, and to see like what other people read.
Yeah, it was really fun. It was actually online, which was unfortunate, but it was part of the, oh my God, now I can't remember what it was called, but like the Vermont Young Writers Conference, I think, which is like this really cool weekend long thing that's usually in person, but because of COVID, it was online. And it was just really cool to hear all of the different writers and their poems, because this past school year, I did sort of not a poetry slam or a poetry mic, but like an open mic for any music or poetry or dance or anything like that in my school. And I was the only one who read a poem. So I was a little bit nervous and embarrassed by that. I mean, it was fun, but I was really glad to get to meet all of the other poets and creators at that conference. So that's really cool.
That sounds like so much fun. I remember I was going to apply or sign up for it. I think you do have to apply for it. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was going to last year, but I decided to do the Governors Institute instead, which is when I did the songwriting thing. And I remember my application was due March 8th, and I submitted it like the night of the 7th. And
then
exactly a week later, on the 15th, we went into lockdown. And I was like, well, what's going to happen now?
That's crazy.
It was unfortunate, but I did have fun with it, even though it was online. I think that the benefit to having like programs like that online and conferences is that you can meet so many people that you wouldn't have met otherwise.
And yeah, definitely.
People from other states who can come, since it's not in person and that kind of thing. But there is this level of like, you're missing the kind of real community feel.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like it's tough because on one hand, it feels like, well, at least we're doing something. But on the other hand, it's like, but it's not in person. So I'm actually doing the Governor's Institute of the Arts right now also, because luckily it wasn't at the same time as the conference. So that was very, very helpful. It's just another like really awesome opportunity and really awesome community, but not in person, unfortunately.
Yeah, it was so much fun, but I just wanted to go to the college and walk around on the campus and feel like I was a college student. I just wanted the main character vibes, but instead I was sitting at my computer in my room. But they have great instructors there, like so helpful, so engaged and like willing to talk to you and stuff. But anyway, back to your poem. I went off on my tangent again. But we grew this fruit, so we will buy it or bury it in the earth where it was born. I think this is interesting, kind of like, I feel like if this isn't what you intend, don't mind me, but if you kind of look into it, it's like taking responsibility for something that you do and being like, this is something that we created, so either you're going to take care of it or it's just going to kind of rot in the corner until, it's a real big problem.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I was sort of just thinking, like you said, like taking responsibility, like there's this thing we created, so like we have to do something with it. Like, you can just like throw it away or waste it, or you can use it. And then the sort of buy it or bury it was also connecting back to the beginning, where I was still just thinking about like the way that poetry and art in general is sometimes or is portrayed as like a tough career option.
I think it's an important thing that people are going to relate to that. Like, I know that people have heard that, like, that's a tough career, or that's not going to be easy to do, or something like that. It feels like, why are you making me feel bad about it if I don't feel bad about it? I think that's kind of how I feel about a lot of things in my life, is that, like, when people start questioning why I'm doing something, it's like, well, why are you making me question it if I wasn't questioning it before? It wasn't a problem until you brought it up. But anyway, yeah, I do think it's like a really relatable and kind of universal thing, because I'm sure it might be the same for some other people who maybe their family is really, they're all doctors or they're all engineers and they want to be the real estate agent. I don't know, this is all made up, but their family's like, what are you going to do as a real estate agent? And they're trying to be like, this is something I really want to do, so I want you to know how I can do it. All right, some more lines. I am writing in the small white flowers that dance across the banks of highways.
That was another line that I had just sort of collected at the beginning to sort of feed the rest of the inspiration of the poem. And again, the road trip or driving on highways, and also just in general, I've always sort of been fascinated with like on a lot of highways, especially like here in Vermont and where I live, there are like very sort of steep, rocky banks on the sides, and then also at other points, like these just sort of hills and flowers. And a lot of the time when I was just like bored in the car, I would imagine just like dancing along with those flowers, sort of like a Sound of Music type situation with Maria when she's like dancing along the hilltops, except next to a highway.
I love that. Oh, road trips are so much fun. I went on a small one recently with my dad. We drove to Hanover in New Hampshire, and it was a lot of fun because I hadn't been out of the state in like a year and a half, pretty much. So it was cool to be somewhere new and see like the downtown Hanover area, because it's similar to Burlington, which is pretty much where I live. So it's fun to see new places and new people. And what was so cool about going to Hanover was that everyone was dressed very posh. All the men had on their khaki shorts and their polo shirts. The women had on their little tennis dresses. It was funny. I was in there in like a t-shirt and my leggings, and I was like, I don't belong here.
Yeah, that's awesome. It was very interesting. It was only like a 2 day drive down and a 2 day drive up, so it was not an extremely long road trip, but it was with 2 dogs, so that was interesting.
Oh, my dog loves going in the car, but I think after a certain amount of time, he gets kind of antsy and he's like, I want to go lie down in my house. And we're like, no, we're literally like 7 hours away from home. We can't just go back.
Yeah, definitely.
Another line. I want to dip my fingers in sunset sky. I want skeletal wings and to make them fly. What was your inspiration for this ending?
in a lot of my poetry and it just writing in general, like I have these sort of themes, I guess, of like the sunset and the wind, which I didn't mention here, but and like wings and sort of flying, because I don't know, like ever since I was really little, if I could have any superpower, like that would be the one I would really want to fly. And I had this other sort of like fragment of poem that I hadn't used that was something about having like the skeleton of a butterfly in my notebook, I want to say. And so I just took that image of like skeletal wings and stuck it in there. And I just thought that would be like a nice, calm ending point for the poem.
Yeah, I like it. And I think it's a great way to end it. It's really cool that you like, you want to do all these kind of adventurous and really poetic things, and you want to just have that like beauty. I was going to say beautifulness, but I was like, no, it's beauty. So that brings me to another question, which was, do you often go through the kind of same themes in your poetry? Like you mentioned, there are the same phrases.
Yeah, I think it's, so I'll have a theme that I'll sort of go through for a while, and then I sometimes there'll be breaks. I'll have like a bunch of poetry writing and just like art, a bunch of writing, and then not for a little while, and then I'll get some more inspiration and I'll be a bunch of poetry. And I think that's sort of where the themes come from, but there are definitely a couple of themes that are present through a lot of my writing, like the sort of wind and the sky a lot, and I guess just like these different elements of nature that I'm really drawn to, like that, and then also the sunset, and yeah, mostly just things like that.
I agree. I do the same kind of thing. I had a couple different themes. I haven't shared my poetry on YWP in a while. I just posted one though, but I've been keeping it to myself for a little bit. But I was really obsessed with the phrase like napkin colored sky. I don't know why, but I was obsessed with it. It was in like 5 different poems at one point. And then also I was really into, I think it was tea. Tea and mugs were a big thing in the winter that I was writing about. But it's always cool to look back and see like, why was I so obsessed with this? Or why did I think that this was such a cool line to write about? So yes, I do like that. And of course, as I've mentioned many times before, my underwater phase, which now makes me cringe a little bit that so many poems were underwater. Well, how did you first become interested in writing?
I guess one of my earliest memories of poetry and writing was when I was like 5 or 6, we did a unit on poetry in school. And I don't think that that was the first time I wrote poetry, because I remember being really excited because I had already written poetry before, but it was definitely like, I think I wrote a poem about like creeping down the stairs at Christmas or something. I don't think I still have it, but, and I also, my school did like this fake town thing sometimes where everyone would have a little shop and you would sell things to each other. And I had the brilliant idea that I was going to sell my poems. So I wrote like these different poems. And then I think I also had like custom poetry that I could write you. So yeah, that was a couple of the first times that I can remember.
Oh, that's so cool. I don't remember doing poetry early in school. I don't think it was really until I got to like middle school or high school, but I do remember I wrote a lot of poems when I was young. And my mom was recently going through a bunch of papers that she had from when I was like 5 and 6, because they wrote her notes like every day. And one of them was a poem about going to the mall, I think. It was so funny and so cliche, but so sweet at the same time. And I loved it. And then there is another one that still makes me laugh, because my birthday is in February, the beginning of February. And I wrote my parents a note. I said, "Dear mom and dad, I love you so much. Happy New Year. P.S. My birthday is soon. I can't wait to see what I get." So I was just like casually slipping in, "Oh, my birthday is coming up, but this is about New Year's."
Nice, nice. Yeah, I just remembered also, I think even before that, when I was like really young, I would just like make up off the top of my head these very long and nonsensical songs that I have someone like recorded in the voice memos, like of my mom's phone, I think. So I would be very embarrassed, but also it would be funny to listen to those. I think one of them was about My Little Pony, if I remember correctly. And just like these very, very long songs that I just make up off the top of my head.
I used to do that too. I had one when I was like, I think 2 or 3 about tater tots. but my most special videos that I've made, I was, I think 4 or 5. I was a vlogger. And we had one of those cameras that was like a little, I don't really know how to describe it, but like a really tiny purple one. And they would like take pictures on very early 2000s, but I'd like flip it around so I could use it on the back. And I'd take little vlogs of me talking to someone, but it was always saying like, okay, if you ever need me, just call me and I'll come over and we can like hang out. It was so cringy. Watching them maybe like 2 years ago because I was going through pictures and videos on our computer. And they're so funny.
That's really funny. Yeah, my sister and our friend used to make like these very dark, like sort of noir movies, like about where pretty much all the characters died. And I think I'd like to give myself most of the credit for coming up with like the ideas of the plots. I mean, they did too, but that was really fun. It's very funny to watch those. I think the first one was like The Death of Princess Sapphire or something. So yeah.
That sounds like a lot of fun. I loved like doing stuff like that with my friends when I was younger, like making up skits and making up plays and pretending we were like fashionistas and stuff. I had so much fun doing that kind of thing when I was younger. I don't really remember writing that much with my friends when I was younger. I think that was more when I was older, but yes, we did do a lot of videos and like, watch this, I'm gonna do something cool, watch this, just like running around the yard. But anyway, more questions. We talked briefly last year for the anthology podcast episode that I put together. How has your writing changed since then?
Well, I think since then I took a break from writing poetry for a while. I don't know. It was just like not having the inspiration. And was that last summer, I want to say, that you did that?
Yeah.
Yeah. So since then I started high school, and that was like a really big change because my elementary and middle school is like very tiny and my high school's pretty big. I think it's like 700 kids, I think. So that was a very big change. And when I started there, I was able to write like a couple of short plays for students to perform. And that was really, really cool. And that sort of got me into script writing, which is now, I would say, like one of my main focuses with writing, and just really, really fun, I think. And yeah, like right now I'm working on like a teleplay of this, about this like British family who acts like they're living in the 1800s, even though they live in the present day. And I'm just sort of like experimenting with like the format and stuff. So that was one of the main ways that my writing changed. And then I've gotten more back into writing poetry, but I like to think that it's a bit more emotionally sophisticated. I hope that it's improved. So yeah.
Yeah, sophistication for sure. And I think my poetry since last year, it's mainly just gotten more metaphorical, more abstract. That's what I would have thought for it too, but I think it's getting a little too moody for me. Sometimes I read my poems and I'm like, this really came from me? So I'm going to try to write cheerful poems now, something that's happy and positive, even though I'm sure it's going to turn into yet another sad love poem because it's becoming my genre. But yeah, playwriting, screenwriting, that kind of thing, that's really cool. And I do want to experiment with that because I I'm taking a writing for multimedia class in the fall, and I'm excited because we're supposed to kind of do screenwriting and that kind of thing. So the classic line break question, what books and authors have shaped you as a writer and a human being?
That is always such a tough question for me. Like, I definitely read a lot. And I think that there are, like, this is just my stalling technique, like, as I'm thinking. No, I think that there are lots of different authors who have shaped me in very different ways, I guess. But over the past couple of years, I've definitely read, like, a lot of books in verse, specifically by Elizabeth Acevedo, I think, yeah, has written some really good books in verse and also not in verse. But I think that I sort of realized that that was possible, I guess. And then also, I want to say, like, just like the writers of some different, like, my favorite TV shows and movies, I guess, because I feel like I just feel like they never really get a lot of credit. And I just started to realize that I don't really, like, know who any of them are. So I sort of want to do, like, more research into that, because I mean, without them, like, that media, like, wouldn't really exist. So I can't really name any of those off the top of my head, but that's definitely influenced me. And then craning my neck to see my bookshelf right now. I read almost all Becky Albertalli's books very recently, and they were just, like, really awesome. And I feel like the way she writes is just, like, so authentic, and, like, the voice is so real to me. So I thought that was really cool.
I don't think I've read any of Becky Albertalli's books. I think I did read one, but I can't remember which one it is now. But anyway, books. I just bought a bunch of them. I bought, like, 10 on Amazon, and then I got 2 at a flea market, and then I got another 2 at a little free library, and then I got another one at a little free library. So I'm just collecting all the books I can right now. But I just finished reading Mosquito Land, which is fantastic, for, like, the 3rd or 4th time. And then I have We Were Liars. I already read it, I think, about 2 or 3 times, but I'm reading it again because it's been a couple of years. And I love E. Lockhart's writing. Very good. And yeah, I do love when writers have those very real characters. Like, they kind of remind you of someone that you know in real life, or you, and you're like, oh, that seems familiar to me. That seems like something I can relate to. I think that's really important, especially for, like, YA fiction too, because seeing someone that you can relate to and being like, oh yeah, that shy girl with the glasses sitting in the back of the room is totally me. That kind of thing.
Yeah, definitely. I think Becky Albertalli, like you were talking about, it just feels very real. And also, I don't, like, a lot of her books are just, like, they're all, like, set in the present day, and, like, about, mostly about, like, theater kids, which I would consider myself a theater kid. So, like, I think it's really fun that those are sort of her main characters. And then I feel like, like, she as an adult just, like, really understands, like, how to write for, like, young, like, teenagers and young adults, I would say. And so just, like, I mean, like, all her books just felt very relatable to me, and I was just impressed. I was like, wow, you just get me.
It's always such an unexpected thing when an adult, like, actually understands teenagers, and you're like, whoa, that's so surprised, but it's so pleasant too. I'm trying to think of the book of hers that I read. I know she's done a lot with other authors too.
I still need to read her books that she did with other authors. I haven't read What If It's Us, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Or Yes, No, Maybe So. I haven't read either of those. I still need to read those. I read Simon versus the Homo Sapien Agenda, and then Leon the Offbeat, which is the sort of sequel, I guess. And then The Upside of Unrequited is another one. And then,
yes.
Yeah.
That's the one that I read.
Yeah.
I was just looking at her books. That's it. But man, she's got a lot of books.
Yeah. Yeah, it was really nice. I sort of just, like, binge read them all in a row.
I think it's so fun when you find like a series or kind of book set in the same world, and then you read them all at once. You're like, oh, this is so cool. I finished the first Harry Potter book. I still have not gotten on to the other ones yet, but it is my goal to read the rest of them. I said by the end of the summer, but I think I'm going to extend it to the end of the year because some of them are like really, really wide, like
Yeah.
6 pages at least.
Yeah,
And
definitely. Yeah, some
that's
of
too much
them.
for me to read.
Yes, I have. Some of them are very, very thick. I mean, none of them would be difficult to read. Like they're all like written really well, but like very easily, obviously, because they're like, yeah. But and yeah. I find it annoying when authors write a series where sort of the later books are the better ones, at least in my opinion, because I just when I'm trying to get someone else to start the series, I'm like, oh, but you're gonna hate like the first three books and you're not gonna get into it, and then you won't want to read it, and then you won't get to my favorite book, and then I can't discuss it with you.
Yeah, it's such a problem. I think it's funny how the first Harry Potter is like a tiny, nice little 200 pages, 150 or something, and then the rest are like 400 pages. But I do like it. I think the first one was okay. I give it like 3.5 out of 5, just because I feel like I would have liked it a lot more when I was younger. But hopefully I like the rest. Everyone says that. Was it the fourth book? One of them is the best.
I think I know it, the third book is very popular. Like I would say that's definitely one of the best. The fourth is also good. I also like the last two, the sixth and the seventh. I think those would probably be my favorite four.
Well, I also took the official sorting quiz thing to find out what house I'm in. I took a bunch of unofficial ones too, and I was freaking out because I thought my whole life I was Hufflepuff. Everyone told me, you're such a Hufflepuff. And I found out I'm in Ravenclaw, which disturbs me a bit.
Same. I'm also a Ravenclaw. I've actually taken the official test a couple of times. I don't think you're supposed to do that, but I'm pretty sure that the first time I got a Ravenclaw, which I mean that people have told me that I was a Ravenclaw, and I think I also got like Hufflepuff one time, which I would say I'm a combination of those two. Like, yeah.
I don't know. I always thought it was like the quirky, kind of really creative, unexpected Hufflepuff, and now I'm like, I'm just the smart Ravenclaw.
Yeah, I feel like Ravenclaws are like so like portrayed so like one-dimensionally. Like I guess you haven't really gotten to any of the like Ravenclaw characters yet if you've read the first book, but I don't know. I feel like we need some more Ravenclaw pride.
Yeah, I don't think there were any in the first book. I don't remember any. It's so like underrated. No one really talks about being a
Yeah,
Ravenclaw.
definitely.
Well, maybe there's a little bit of Hufflepuff in me, just the right amount. Okay, one more question. What advice do you wish you had when you first started writing?
I feel like I wish that I had the advice that like if I wrote about myself and like my own emotions, like that would be interesting enough and like that would be okay. Like I was always writing like these very fantastical poems that were not about me at all. I mean, maybe I projected onto them somehow, but I feel like I would have just liked to have known that even if it was very cliche and had been written before, that that's okay. And you could just write whatever you're feeling, and that's fine.
Yeah, I think that's important is to just write what you want to write. I've said it so many times, I'll say it again. You don't have to feel like, let me make my emotions a certain way so that other people like them. You know, if that's how you feel, that's how you feel. There's nothing wrong with it. And I think it comes out more authentic and more relatable when you are honest and when you're not trying to make it pretty or make it perfect.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, this has been so much fun to talk with you. I feel like we've gotten some fun topics. And I love talking about your poem too.
Yeah, thank you for having me. Super fun.
This has been episode 42 of Line Break. I hope you enjoyed and stay tuned for episode 43. Bye!